What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
W-T-L.
It's
time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to W-T-L. That stands for Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klass, and joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back. We're back for another week.
Yes, we are. And we're talking more NFL football, yep. More college football, yep. More college football, and more NFL football.
Football across the board. More,
it's getting in that time of the season.
It really is. Well,
week 8, week 7, week 9.
Yeah.
You know, depending if you count week 0. So, yeah, I mean, we're getting into the thick of things.
Yeah.
Playoff implications across the board.
For sure.
Divisional battles are really starting to heat up,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, we got a lot to get into here.
For sure.
Let's start with Thursday night.
Okay.
All right. Jacksonville, they're coming back over to the States,
yeah.
After their 2-week stint over across the pond,
mm-hmm.
But they're still not going to play at home.
Yeah.
They're heading over to New Orleans. That's the Thursday night game, 7:30 kickoff, and it's basically a pick 'em, and it's kind of stayed that way. New Orleans is a The Saints are a 1-point favorite here. We're looking at an over-under at 40. Kind of low, but if you look at these two offenses, you kind of understand why.
Yeah, exactly, Andy. And the way this opened up is they had New Orleans at a -3 favorite,
yeah.
And that over-under all the way up at 43 points. So you can kind of see the way the betting trends are going here. A lot of people throwing money on the Jaguars, and a lot of people thinking they're not going to score that many points. I'm going to stick with the Jaguars. They have looked good over the past few weeks, taking down the likes of the Falcons, the Bills, and the Colts. They're on a 3-game winning streak, Andy. And the Saints just don't look right, Andy. Back on Sunday versus the Texans, New Orleans was down 17-10 by halftime and couldn't get much going offensively in the second half, losing that game 20-13. Just really think Jacksonville is on the ascend to the team that everybody thought they would be in the preseason, and now they're kind of hitting that stride.
You know, there's something to be said for winning the game. Just win the game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
But Jacksonville is kind of fool's gold where they had some goofy things happen, some turnovers that went their way, and they didn't have very many sustained drives in those last couple of wins. I get a lot of factors overseas and all that.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, New Orleans last week, they had a bunch of long drives that they couldn't capitalize. Where they would get in the red zone. They would turn over. I think they had 2 or 3 times they got within the 15 and had nothing to show for it. So it's kind of odd. You have one offense that's chewing up yardage, getting a lot of passing yards and rushing yards, and another one that doesn't have a lot of stats to show for it, but they're scoring enough to win.
But they score when they need to. And that's it. That's the opposite of New Orleans. They've looked good offensively. Like you said, Sunday, 430 yards, Andy, but the 2 turnovers and 7 penalties and 6 of 15 on third downs killed any momentum that they have. So I am rolling with the Jaguars. I just don't think this Saints team really knows how to mesh yet.
Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence is playing good football right now.
Oh, man, I want to take I like New Orleans at home, but it's not the same old New Orleans as it has been in previous few years.
For sure not.
And you're right. Jacksonville is 10-3, the last 13 against the spread, and that's where it counts. And when you're talking to flip them, okay, give me the road dog.
Yeah.
Road dogs have been eating this year anyway.
Well, I think so.
Ooh, and I'm looking at a consensus right now at 39.5. So you've already lost a half point there. Boy, that total is going down.
It is going down, Andy. It does scare me a little bit with betting the over here, but I think it really is the only play if you're on one side or the other. I cannot go into this game with these defenses thinking that they're going to keep these two offenses that have some playmakers on each side under this amount of points. So I might just sidestep it, but if I had to pick, I would go on that over.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like two NFL teams should be able to get you 39 points, right?
Should, for sure. Especially these teams,
Well, let's talk about a couple of other offenses that I think get overlooked quite a bit. The 5-1 Detroit Lions. That's right. 5-1. And the only game they lost was an overtime loss.
For sure.
Early.
Yep.
Okay. Against the Baltimore Ravens. Heading out to Baltimore. They're 4-2. Kind of having a quiet, good season.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Ravens always do.
For sure.
They're just always around.
Just there. They're
always
just there.
But they are a 3-point, and that line is holding at 3. They are a 3-point favorite at home. Are the Ravens over-under? Total is looking at 43.
Yeah, Andy. I've been rolling with the Lions all season, so it's hard for me to go against them, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. They've already picked up some solid road wins this season.
Yeah.
I'm a bit hesitant to teams coming back from London without a bye week, which is what they're doing right now.
Exactly what they're
but
doing.
But I still think the Lions come to play. Their coach is an absolute lunatic that gets them hyped up and everything.
Yep.
Jared Goff is playing the best football that he's played in the NFL. I'm siding with the Lions, especially if I'm getting points.
I'm going with the Lions big time. They are 7 out of the last 8 games against the spread. They have covered.
Yeah.
And they have been covering. They've been winning. And Baltimore, they're dinged up. Let me look at their latest injury list here. But you're looking at defensive backs, defensive ends. Running backs, of course, with J.K. Dobbins. That happened early.
For sure.
They're on their way, though. But you got 2 defensive ends, Russians, that are out. You also have a cornerback and a safety that are questionable, probably going to sit out. You're talking about a neck injury with Brent Urban.
Yeah.
And Detroit's offense is clicking.
Yeah, exactly, Andy. And they start fast, which is really good for a team like this because they just get on top of you, and then their defense is very stout as well. So the Lions have won the first quarter in each of their last 4 games against teams with a winning record. So this is a very good team that gets out, starts fast, and then they don't let up. They have a very potent offense, and that defense keeps the good offenses in check enough for the Lions to win. Give me those points. Give me the Lions.
It's kind of awkward talking about Detroit like this, but they play very complimentary football. The defense helps the offense. The offense can lift up the defense and kind of protect the lead. They got running backs that they can lean on when they're not injured.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at in the NFL right now. And I saw some stats with Lamar Jackson, and he's actually having a lot better year than what you're kind of led to believe. If you just watch SportsCenter and listen to what they say, you don't think he's having a good year.
Exactly. No.
He's having a pretty darn good year.
He's always having a good year. If this guy's on the field, he's having a good time and he's making plays.
Yeah.
This guy is this Baltimore Ravens offense. He's the man. He really is. He deserves all the money. But on the opposite side, Andy, they got a few more pieces. They got Jared Goff, who's already passed for 1,600 yards. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs that are great 1-2 punch.
Yep.
And Amon-Ra St. Brown leads the Lions in receiving with 38 grabs and almost 500 yards already this season.
Yeah, and a lot of people are high on him, fantasy guys.
For sure. Early,
and they're right. They're right. He is having himself a season thus far. All right, so we like the 3. What about that 43 total?
Yeah, I think this probably does it. I think it probably goes over, Andy. Just like we're just saying, the high potent offense with the Detroit Lions, I think they get at least 28 points in this. And I do think that Lamar is going to be able to put some touchdowns against this Lions defense.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they'll win the game, but I believe they eclipse this pretty easy.
It doesn't matter if it's Pop Warner, college, or pro football. A running quarterback causes problems for
especially if he's
a defense.
This good.
All right, let's move on to a game here that everyone's going to be looking at. A lot of our listeners are fans of one of these two, and that's a CBS 3:25 kickoff, the afternoon game. Green Bay is heading to Mile High Stadium. The Broncos are 1-5. We all get it. But the Packers are only 2-3, and they are a 1-point favorite on the road heading to Denver. This one's tricky.
Yeah, this one is tricky. I mean, like, I probably have to go with the Packers on this one. You could make the case for Denver, though, especially after Green Bay's ugly outing against the Raiders. In addition to the 3 picks in that one, the Packers posted a rough 4-12 rate on third down.
Yeah.
Both of these offense can't get it going. It seems that Russ has been able to find some.
He's got some stats.
He's definitely putting up some stats or whatever. The good news is that the defense for the Packers was pretty solid overall and kept the team in it until late in that game. Mm-hmm. Green Bay has been at 20 or fewer points in each of the last 3 games, so scoring is the issue for the Packers.
That's all, but you do have to score to win games.
Yeah.
I'm Green Bay. I'm all over Green Bay here. They're coming off a bye, right?
Yeah.
And Denver, you could say they're kind of coming off a short week.
Yeah.
That never bodes well for, even though it's on the road, I'm going to have to eat it. And everyone wanted to talk about Denver and their home field advantage. what home field advantage.
It's not there
they've
anymore.
They've had two, their last two home games, they both lost.
Yeah.
So, where is it?
It's really tough.
Where am I hanging my hat on?
You know, it's really tough for fans. You know, when you're winning, it's a really good atmosphere. But, I mean, you remember going to those Chiefs games back in the day.
Oh, that was
growing
great.
Up and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the atmosphere that it is now.
No.
When you go to a Chiefs game, it's a lot of stadium in the world now. It's because they're really, really good. 2015 Denver Broncos Stadium, yes. That is home field advantage.
Yeah.
2013 Seahawks Stadium, that is a home field advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. If you're not good, fans don't get as loud. It's just what it is.
Yeah, it really is. And Denver, they got to earn it back.
And
the Sean Payton experiment has not really panned out. Maybe this is where they turn around.
I mean, this
is good as spot as any. You got to beat up a Green Bay team. But like I said, they're coming off a bye. They should be getting themselves healthy again. And I think Love's going to trend back to the medium here. Like, he played so bad.
Yeah.
His last time out, he can't do that again.
No, I agree, Andy. And didn't it just seem for Denver against that game against the Chiefs that the Chiefs just weren't playing against
them? No,
they knew. It's just like the younger brother, just like, okay, yeah, do whatever you want. in the Broncos,
that's
defense
terrible.
Wasn't bad, giving up just 4 of 13 on third downs to the Chiefs. But I just see this one as being, you know, a lower scoring defensive battle.
Yeah.
Both offenses are struggling these days, but yeah. I'm backing the Packers.
Me too.
In Mile High.
Yeah, and I don't usually like to take these road dogs, but two of these three picks, that's what I'm going with
here.
Seems
like we are.
and Green Bay, they are 7-3 against the spread overall. And that's the main number that we're talking
exactly.
about. Not wins and losses. We're talking, do they cover? 7 out of the last 10, they have. 4 out of the last 5 against Denver. Now, I get it. They don't play every year, and teams change, and rosters change, and all that. But 4 of the last 5 times they played Denver, they have covered as well. So I'm talking against the spread.
Yeah.
I like Green Bay.
I do too, Andy. I really do.
And you heard the horn there, so we're up against it. Did you touch on the over-under there at 45?
I kind of did, Andy, just because I do believe it's going to be a defensive battle. Neither one of these offenses are explosive enough. I'm seeing it at 46.5, 45 points, wherever you can find it at. I do believe that it'll smack that under.
Defenses have been balling out in the NFL so far this season.
Yep.
It doesn't look like it's going to change this week. There's almost a record number of unders last week. That might get broken this week as far as the under in the NFL cash.
Especially in this game.
Let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying Wick for Brains, their pumpkin ale.
Yeah.
It is the season.
It is.
It is their classic, painstakingly created fall pumpkin ale made with real pumpkin lens. That's what makes the difference. It's not just some pumpkin spices and some cinnamon. This is the real deal, and I can attest to it. It is my favorite pumpkin beer on the market.
There it is. And spooky, too. Just in time for Halloween, you got the jack-o'-lantern on the label. It looks awesome.
They take their labels very serious there at NBC. Nebraska Brewing Company, world class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. That stands for Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron
the Party Pounder.
You got it.
Oh, well, we started off out there. Got that Thursday night game in there for the NFL.
Get the juices flowing.
We're going to shift gears here. We're going to get back into the college ranks.
Yeah.
Where we have a couple high-flying Big Ten teams, both ranked in the top 7. Ohio State, 3rd ranked in the nation. The Nittany Lions of Penn State ranked 7th in the nation in most polls.
Yeah.
And they're both 6-0.
Something's got to give here, Andy, and this looks like one of the better games of the college football season on. Yeah. So, we're going to be tuning into this one.
Yeah, this is going to be an 11 o'clock kickoff on Big Noon Fox kickoff.
Yep.
We're expecting some points, too, and over-under of 45.5.
Sure.
And as we set up, the point spread consensus has moved from 4.5 to 5, Ohio State.
Crazy.
And I think from what I've been hearing on the radio and some of the blogs I've been reading, there's got a lot of money being poured in on Ohio State, and that's going to keep happening.
Yeah, I think so, Andy. But I do believe that these people that are doing that are wrong.
Ooh!
I really
okay.
I'm looking at Penn State in the points in this one, Andy. I just think the Nittany Lions have a tendency to keep this matchup within the number, covering six of the last seven meetings. Also, when you get that those key numbers at 3 or 4.5 or, you know, 3.5, 4.5, 5, I really love the opposition team. They are just as good as Ohio State. They are 6-0. They're ranked right there. Ohio State's ranked number third, only giving up 10 points a game this season.
Yeah.
Penn State coming in at second, only giving up 9 points a game this season. These are two great defenses. Yeah. If I had to look at that over-under, Andy, I'm looking under, too.
You're looking
I'm
under?
I'm looking at this game as a smash-mouth Big Ten football game. You kind of saw it with Ohio State earlier this year when they played another ranked opponent, Notre Dame.
Right.
The low, they kept that scoring low, 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 low. I believe we see another thing just like that this weekend. I'm not saying Ohio State ain't going to win this game, but it'll be late.
Well, and that's what most people are pointing to is Ohio State had such a good win over Notre Dame, and it looks even better now after Notre Dame smacked the Trojans of USC around this past weekend. Everyone's saying, well, what has Penn State done? Well, I'll tell you what they've done. They've covered all six games this year. They are 6-0. They're coming to town. They've heard all the chatter, too. I'm in agreeance with you, especially if we're going to keep catching points here.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just wait till kickoff and see how.
To a touchdown,
Yeah, wait till I can get, 6.5, 7.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful for taking something out on the Nittany Lions there, because I do think it's going to be a tight game.
Yeah, no doubt, Andy. You can't, diss Ohio State's track record that they've had this year. It looks great. Mm-hmm. It looks just as good as Penn State, but Penn State has scored 63 points in two of their games. I don't care who you're playing against. If you can score 63 points in a game, you're going to be in this one. And a couple weeks ago when we were watching Ohio State versus Maryland, Maryland hung in there for a long time.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that Maryland's any kind of slouch, but they shouldn't be able to keep up with the likes of Ohio State and Penn State. So I really like Penn State catching points here, Andy.
Yeah, and Maryland just tripped up against Illinois.
Exactly.
A team that Nebraska beat before.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it does look good on paper. Yep. Everything looks good, but neither of these teams are invincible. And I think people are just riding high on that Ohio State Buckeyes franchise name right now. Yep. This might be the best Penn State team we've seen in a while.
I think you're right about that. And to throw some fuel on the fire of you talking about the under.
Yeah.
And we all talk about Ohio State, and they got the best receivers in the nation. I'm not arguing. Okay, they do. They do. I ran a poll on our YouTube channel in the community page, and was it Oregon or Ohio State or other? Ohio State. Landslide.
Yeah. Marvin Harrison.
From our voters, yep. But with all those bells and whistles and toys and all these playmakers on the perimeter, Ohio State has hit the under 5 of the last 6 games. So 5 out of the 6 games so far that they've won, but they've hit the under. Some of that's due to everyone pumping that number up.
For sure.
But then I take the under. I'm fine with betting the under.
I think the under is a great play here, Andy. Another nugget I want to give you, Andy. Ohio State has failed to cover the spread in each of its last 6 games as a favorite against a top 15 ranked opponent.
All right. I was already sold. I'm on
it
now.
They usually win these games, Andy, but it's not.
Yep.
It's right at the end, and it's usually in a Big Ten matchup like this. When you see two 6-0 teams going against each other, it comes down to that last kick.
And you're under 85 years old, so if Ryan Day hears this, he won't call you out and yell at you on national television like Lee Corso.
He's okay with me saying it, not Corso.
All right, let's move on to an SEC matchup of a couple of ranked opponents here. We got Tennessee. The Volunteers are heading over to Tuscaloosa. Bryant Denny Stadium. The Crimson Tide are 6-1. The Tennessee Volunteers are 5-1.
Yeah.
So they've had a little bit of a bye to work with here, and they are catching a big number. 8 points. I know it's a road game, and I know it's Alabama, but Tennessee's ranked 7th in the nation. They're ranked ahead of Alabama. They're only 11th, which, you're splitting hairs there. That's a 2:30 kickoff on CBS. You got a total of 48.5.
Yeah, Andy, this line makes no sense to me, and it's going down for a reason.
Yeah.
Obviously, it came out this week like a plus 10 for Tennessee. It's all the way down to, what'd you say, plus 8.5, plus 8?
It was 8.5. It's already down to 8.
It's already down to 8. If you guys can get it above a touchdown, if you can get it at 7.5 or 8, jump on Tennessee. This is just the way that it needs to be. This line should be under 7 points because of how good Tennessee is.
Yeah.
Alabama, still a very good team, but isn't as good this season as it's been in the past.
Nope.
The offense can't finish drive, 86 in total offense overall. Texas A&M and Arkansas had its chances against Alabama.
Yeah.
They could have lost those two games. So I really like Tennessee as an underdog here, even though it's on the road. If you can get it above a touchdown, I think it's gold.
So this line opened up at a 9.5. I think some books even got up to 10. And then now it's being slowly bet back down. People are getting taking a second look at it, like, okay here.
This is the 7th. Ranked team in the nation.
Yeah. And this is an SEC matchup. And also, Alabama's the team that's not ranked as high in this one. I get it. It's at home. I'm not saying Tennessee's going to lose.
Yeah.
But I'm saying Tennessee's going to hang in there and cover this 8.5.
For sure,
Andy. Are you kidding me?
And Tennessee is a top 20 defense in the country, Andy. So you know that Alabama's going to struggle with getting points against them. You got to look at this, Andy, and you might even want to look money line with the Vols on Saturday. If you're feeling a little frisky, look for that Vols money line because it's going to be nice.
No, I like that a lot. And some of these models that I'm looking at actually have Tennessee winning by a touchdown, winning by 6.5 points here.
It can happen.
What about that total at 48.5?
Yeah, Andy, I think that this is probably good to go just because –
SEC teams, they're not what you think. It's a lot more offense.
Yes.
I mean, the rhetoric always was defense, defense, defense. No, that has changed. Look at Georgia's offense. Look at Tennessee's offense.
Exactly.
Look what Alabama's done. There's that picture floating around now of because they're playing in the NFL this week. We'll talk about them.
Yeah, for sure.
When all those quarterbacks were in the same room.
Alabama. Jones and Jalen Hurts.
All three of them starting the NFL, and they're all – play, you know, yeah, competing exactly. for
They're scoring points. Job. They're Ooh. Scoring points. No, I just do not see. I was just saying how good Tennessee's defense is, but I do believe that these two teams can score enough points to get this over 48.5. What I'm seeing with that money line with Tennessee right now is plus 275, Andy, and that's good enough value to throw some money on it. But that plus 8.5, plus 8, wherever you can find it at right now with Tennessee, that is a. That's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, and that's going to be a really fun game to watch regardless.
Yeah, I can't wait.
2:30 kickoff on CBS. All right, a game that has just the same amount of buzz and eyeballs that'll be glued to it. We're going to move on over to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Golden Gophers, Minnesota. They're sitting at 3-3 now. They're heading down to Iowa to take off. And the Hawkeyes, who are at 6-1, say what you want about Iowa, their offense, the coaching, whatever. They are 6-1, and they are a 3.5-point favorite this weekend versus Minnesota.
Yeah, in the eyes of everybody in the world that just looks up and down college football landscape, they're just as good as Alabama or Tennessee. They're 6-1.
6-1, yeah.
And on the other side of the ball, Andy, Minnesota has not looked good against any respectable teams. Sorry, Nebraska.
Yeah.
But that it's played this season, and it's 121st in total offense and 113th in scoring offense and total offense. It's just so bad.
What is
that
on?
Is not ideal on the road against an Iowa team that is 26th in total defense and 10th in scoring defense, Andy. This Iowa team with all of its everything, flaws, all that kind of stuff, this defense is good. Iowa just held Wisconsin to 6 points on the road in Camp Randall.
Yeah. Yeah. Does this line movement make sense to you? It opened at 6.5. Iowa being the favorite. Now it's moved all the way down to 3.5.
No, I just think it's kind of reverse what we were just talking about with Tennessee, Andy.
Yeah.
I just think that people think Minnesota's that Iowa's frauds. But it doesn't matter if Iowa's frauds if they're not playing anybody that's relevant.
Right.
They're not going to play anybody that's relevant in the Big Ten West this
Minnesota's
year.
Minnesota's not going to move the ball in that defense.
They're not going to. They weren't able to do it against us, and they haven't been able to do it since.
Right.
So Iowa is going to stuff this in their face. If Iowa gets a touchdown, they're covering this spread.
One. It's going to be something like 9-3, right?
I do believe that.
So with that being said, this over-under is ridiculous at 31.5, but I guess I'm leaning to the under.
Yeah, I think so too, Andy. I mean, I don't know. I just do not see how Minnesota is going to have an offensive successful game.
No.
The line feels soft to me. Hawkeyes by a touchdown, but it's going to be 17-10, something like that.
17-10, and then you still got a little bit of breathing room there for that over-under.
Yeah.
All right.
I just don't see it getting above that. I mean, I might shy away from that over-under just because it's so low.
It's so low.
It's like Iowa could break a couple runs and accidentally go over that, but we haven't seen that either. So, no, give me the Hawkeyes by a touchdown, and that's where I feel safe.
Yeah, maybe a if you can dodge a special teams touchdown or something wacky like that, yeah. you're okay betting the under, but you don't even need to take that risk.
Yeah, no, just take the Hawkeyes by 4.5, 5, wherever you got them. They're winning this by a touchdown easily.
I'm in agreement with the point spread, that's for sure. And yeah. I would have to lean the under, even though it's ridiculous. You heard the horn. That means we're up against it. So let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stuck and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line? I'm your host, Andy Klassen, and joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we told the people at the top of the broadcast.
Yeah.
We're talking NFL. We're talking college. We're talking more college. We're talking more NFL.
You got it.
So let's get into the second leg of our
Let's do it.
NCAA football.
Yeah.
We got a couple of ranked opponents out of the ACC. Believe it or not, Duke is still ranked 16th in the nation, but they're heading down to Bobby Bowden Field at Will Campbell Stadium to play Florida State. And man, do the Seminoles got it rolling right now. They are 6-0, and they are over a 2-touchdown favorite over a ranked opponent here in Duke. They're 14.5-point favorite.
Does this make sense, Andy?
Not at all.
I don't think it makes sense. I just think a lot of people are riding really, really high on the Florida State Seminoles.
Yep. And Duke lost, and it was ugly.
And Duke lost. Good for them, all that kind of stuff. But it's still a ranked opponent, and I just think we're riding a little too high on Florida State. Yep. And good for Florida State. They look phenomenal. They do, Andy.
Yep.
But, I mean, in last week's matchup against NC State, the Blue Devils were up 17-3 going into the second half and eventually secured a 24-3 win. They didn't give up any points in the second half with their quarterback out for injury, and I do believe he's going to play this week. So I really like the Blue Devils covering here.
Yeah.
I just like the cover. I don't think they'll win. I think Florida State probably turns it on a little bit in the second half and gets out to a touchdown lead or so.
Yeah.
But I really like the Blue Devils to stay in this one.
Yeah, let's put it this way. I'm not betting money line, but I am betting Duke to cover.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking over 2 touchdowns here. And some of these models and point predictors and things like that. They actually have Duke winning outright by like 5.5, 6 points.
Yeah, no doubt, Andy. And that's
a lot of, let's call it garbage, thrown into a lot of, analytics and who you played, who you didn't play, and this and that. But it's still kicking back a number saying Duke's going to come out on top.
Exactly, Andy. And you got to look at just Duke's one loss. It looks pretty good now.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. They lost by 7 points to Notre Dame, who just walloped the best player in college football, Caleb Williams.
He was the front runner odds on favorite to win the Heisman. He's not anymore.
Exactly. So I really like the Blue Devils in this one. I do not think they're as bad as people are putting them off to be.
Mm-hmm.
In Florida State, they have looked great, but is Clemson any good? They just beat Clemson in overtime. Are they good?
Yeah.
I don't know. I am going to go with my gut on this one, and it's too many points, especially for an ACC kind of, rivalry.
You're seeing traditional powers, traditional blue bloods kind of shift the narrative here. I really think that Florida State's getting bet up. Duke, they're a basketball school, right? Not a football school. Well, last couple of years, they've been playing some pretty good football. That total is at 49. I think I might like the over.
Yeah, Andy. Well, and especially if you're a Florida State fan here, you like the over, because if they're going to win by 17 points,
right,
it's got to go over. So no matter what, I think the over is the safest play here, Andy. I'm going to go with the over, but I really like Duke Blue Devils to stay in this one.
I'm gonna pile on for Duke once more. For the last 5 games, they have smacked that over.
Yeah.
Everything for me is pointing Duke's going to cover, and give me that over.
Yeah. Nope. I agree, Andy, wholeheartedly.
All righty. And I'm not saying the Seminoles are not going to win. I know I got some friends that are Seminole fans.
I'm not
trying to offend you. I'm just saying Duke's going to cover.
Yep.
All righty. Let's head on out west, sucker.
Yeah.
Utah, the 14th-ranked Utes, are heading to the Coliseum to take on... Oh, the Trojans are licking their wounds right now. USC still 6-1. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff on Fox. Total is 53.
Yeah, Andy,
The Utah Utes, they are 5-1.
Yep.
Trojans are 6-1. That was probably my biggest miss of the weekend.
Yeah, me too.
Was
Andy.
Reading the. I thought the Trojans were going to have so much more success
yep.
at Notre Dame. And Notre Dame was coming off a loss. Their backs are against the wall. I get it. I understand how it could happen. I just thought USC was going to stand up a little bit more than that.
I think our hatred for Notre Dame kind of seeped through in that one, because I'm not a huge USC fan either, but
right.
I am really looking USC this week again, Andy.
Okay.
I just think it's a really good chance to get back on top, get back against a ranked opponent, Andy. If you can get this at 6.5, I really like it. 7 points, it might be a push, but I really like USC here. USC's defense and their inability to stop opponents may not be such an issue. I don't think Utah has what it takes to break down the defense, as they can't throw the ball without Cam Rising.
They're not going to have him, right?
And
he's hurt.
And I'm not sitting here trying to land a grenade on trying to where he's gonna, when he's going to play. I don't think it's this week. Last week was not a good look for USC, like you said, in the grand scheme of things. But with a win over a ranked Utah team, they puts it right back into perspective for USC. I just like them at home by 7.
Utah's just had so much success, though, against Utah. Utah's had a lot of success against USC recently. I mean, they straight up, they won 4 of the last 6 games.
They have.
And you're getting them off a loss here. It kind of reminds me of what USC last week, just on the other end of it.
Yeah.
You know, and this week their back's against the wall. Is that kind of what you're reading into here?
Yeah, no, I do. But I do believe that this team is going to kind of, you know, jolt it up a little bit with their back against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, this is still probably the best player in college football.
Right.
And I think he's heads and tails above everybody that takes the field for the Utah Utes.
Okay. What about that 53 total? The under has hit 5 of the last 6 times for Utah.
Yeah. these pack games, I mean,
they're
just
pretty wild.
Yeah, I do believe it's too low here for a USC team that is going to try and put some points out here this week. And Utah, you know, returning the favor a little bit. So I do like the over at 54.
You like the over?
I do.
Well, the over has smacked 14 of the last 15 USC games,
yeah.
regardless of who they're playing. So.
Nope. Yeah, Caleb Williams, you know, as much as everybody's piling on him, he still has over 2,000 yards already this season with 23 touchdowns.
Wow.
And those touchdowns aren't going to stop against Utah here.
Yeah.
Give me that over. Give me the Trojans.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it is USC. It is Pac-12 football. Smack the over.
Smack the over, folks.
Right. All right, so we're coming off a couple big-time ranked matchups there. Let's get into the game that everyone's really looking at, though.
Yep.
NU versus NU.
Yeah.
We're talking about Northwestern. The Wildcats are 3-3, but guess who else is 3-3?
Yeah.
The Nebraska Cornhuskers playing host, coming off of a bye.
Yeah.
And they're an 11.5-point favorite. What's going on here?
Yeah, I know. To cover this, Andy, the Cornhuskers really need to sharpen up things. At their last outing with the win over Illinois, Nebraska posted 312 total yards and was just 5 for 15 on third down.
Yeah.
We almost gave this game away because we were so bad on third down, just giving the ball back to Illinois. The three turnovers, the two fumbles, 10 penalties and 70 yards didn't help matters, but the defense did their job. That's how we hang our hat.
Yeah.
Northwestern is not going to be able to move this ball against us. It's just, are we going to be able to score enough points to cover this spread?
Well, yeah, that's the big question, and you can see a path for Nebraska to win by 12 or more.
Yeah.
You really can. It's just that we haven't seen it very often yet this year.
Really,
only one game, and that was against a much lesser opponent.
For sure.
So it's really tough for me to put money on Nebraska covering. I think Nebraska's going to win this game.
Yeah,
I
no
do.
Doubt. No doubt.
I really do. It's just that everything sounds good, and I love what Coach Rhule, how he talks to his team, how he talks to the media.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm loving it all, but you can't just say, if we die, we die, and then that cleans up the offense.
No, it does not.
I'm motivated. I'm going to try hard.
I'm motivated.
Yeah, but I'm still going to fumble or whatever, you know, choose to jump when I should have just put my head down and run, whatever the case may be. And we're going to turn the ball over on downs, and that's not going to be a touchdown.
Yeah, no. Andy, but the one thing that I have for hope with the Huskers against this team, this is a very, very underwhelming team in Northwestern.
Yeah, they're bad.
These guys can't – I don't even think they can hang on with Illinois. You know, definitely not with the Iowas and Wisconsins of the West here. So I really like this spot for Harburg to really put his nose to the grindstone and put out a big performance on the ground against this team. And I do have us covering here, Andy.
It's sitting right there for him. This is a great, and you're coming
great
off a bye, and you're playing a team that tried to lose to Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Howard, the college Howard.
The Howard.
Came back, lost it 23-20, and the week before that, Northwestern got blasted by Penn State.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing really to like about the Wildcats.
Yeah, and a lot of people have been throwing this at me, like the Wildcats have hit 23 or more points in all three of their wins so far. It doesn't matter. This Nebraska defense is a lot better than mostly what they've in any of those games. Yeah. I don't see Northwestern getting more than 10 points on us the entire game. I like us to put the ball in the end zone a little bit more than that, especially with our run game. Give me the hook with the Huskers.
And it almost feels like if that's the case, and I do think for Nebraska to win, their defense has to show out again, like always. If that's the case, then I don't know if they can hit that total of 41.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I'm talking about the Nebraska Cornhuskers, I think we have to hit the over.
You think so?
I do believe that we're going to. I think we're going to churn it out against them. I really do believe it's going to hit this over.
I mean, even if Nebraska plays well offensively, and that to me, that's like 24 points.
Yeah.
And then you hold Northwestern to 10, 12. You're still not getting there.
No, I agree that is what the standard is for Nebraska right now. Like, that's a good game for 24 points.
Yeah.
I believe this is the week that goes over that.
Oh!
That we put a 35-point game up there.
That
we put a 40 game up there. We need to start doing it, especially if we're all talking about bowl season and bowl games. This is a statement game for Nebraska, especially Northwestern. Put that sour taste in our mouth all year last year, starting 0-1. This is a revenge game for these Cornhuskers. We are going to smack them out of Memorial Stadium. We're putting up a 40 burger.
Let's take the over.
Take the points for Nebraska. Go Big Red.
He's going over, folks. The Huskers are winning. They're covering, and they're going over.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw a wet blanket on it, so I'm just going to wrap up. You heard the horn right there, so that means we're up against it anyway. Let's just leave it right there.
Let's do it.
Like how that sounds. Heavy on Nebraska, and I totally agree with you. If you are going to get right, this is your get right.
For sure.
At home, coming off a bye, and Northwestern just tried to lose to Howard.
Yeah.
Take it.
Take it, Harburg.
Let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We have shifted gears here, and we're drinking the Pickle Fight.
Yes,
we are. One of my favorite beers. Now, you got a different one going on over there.
I got the Spicy Pickle Fight, what they just came out with. It is, you know, this is a variant.
It's spicy.
It really punches you in the throat. A pickle punch to the throat. I love this beer. Best beer out there for Bloody Marys,
it's
Andy.
It's a flavorful and zesty ale that boasts a bold and briny pickle flavor, no doubt about it. And they are wonderful if you want to do that Bloody Mary. And, hey, it's a 2:30 kickoff, so we might have to
2:30 kickoff on Saturday.
There we go.
We will definitely be drinking the Pickle Fight at the tailgate.
Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line? I'm your host, Andy Klassen, and joined by...
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
Yeah. We're back.
All right, we wrapped up college football. Tons of picks over there.
Yeah.
Time to get back into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The Not For Long, No Fun League, no whatever. What does NFL even stand for?
National Football League.
There we go. After the merger, they decided that. Okay. All right, we're going to be talking about, we got to start with the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs. They're heading on over to Arrowhead. Are the Chargers, and the Chiefs are now a 5.5-point favorite. That total sitting there at 48. And I, just right off the bat, I like the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, I think there is a little bit of a, you know, fight between, you know, a case to be made for either side here, Andy. The Chargers have done a good job of keeping a lot of the recent meetings close between these two teams.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have played a lot of tight games as of late, whether like, you know, like we were talking about the Broncos, did they care? It really doesn't seem that they will. But I do like the Chiefs here, Andy, just because I think they kind of make it a statement game right here, Andy. And one thing that I'm looking at, Andy, is a player prop right off the bat. Travis Kelce has scored a touchdown in 5 of the Chiefs' last 6 Sunday games. He's scored again. So anytime touchdown for Travis Kelce. Another one that I want to look at quick, Andy, is on the opposite side of the ball. Austin Eckler has scored 2 or more touchdowns in 3 of his last 4 games following a loss. So once they have a loss, once they have a loss, they go back to what they're supposed to do, and that's getting Austin Eckler the football. So I would go with Austin Eckler anytime touchdown as well.
I'm just looking at Kansas City had an extra day to recover playing that Thursday night game. Chargers are coming off a short week. That never bodes well, and also you're taking on the machine that is Kansas City.
Yeah.
Also, it's that time of the year where I'm putting a little bit more stock into ATS. What have you done last 5-6 games? I just looked at it. Kansas City has covered 4 of the last 5.
Yeah.
LA has not covered 4 of the last 5. In fact, they've only covered 2 of the last 4.
Yeah.
2 of the last 4 games. So everything to me just points at the home favorite here.
Yeah.
And tell me. Taylor Swift going to be in the stands or not?
I'm sure she will be with a LA team playing. But you can see that this game, everybody's kind of thinking the same thing because it did open up at 7, 6.5 points.
You're right.
And it's getting bet down already because
it is the Chargers.
Chargers. Yeah. And their back is up against the wall. They do need to win games. They do need to score points. So I can see it being a tight game, Andy, but give me the Chiefs by a touchdown late, or they could just beat the wheels off them. It could go either two ways. Either way, Chiefs win.
And this is also one of those games where I think the Chiefs are not going to want to take their foot off the gas as early because they know the Chargers can come back.
Exactly.
So they're not going to just want that 3 or 4 point lead late in the fourth quarter. They're going to want it to be 2 scores or more.
Exactly, Andy. And that's the reason that I think this over-under – it started all the way up at 52 points, Andy. It's already bet down all the way to 48.
Yep.
I like this over, just because of the things you were just saying.
Yeah.
Chargers are going to push them to score points, and we know Mahomes and company can put the points on the board. So can Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, and Herbert on the other side. Give me all the points. Give me the over. Love it.
Man, and people are piling on Herbert. And, yes, he did miss some throws.
For sure.
Just think it's kind of shocking when he doesn't make every single throw. So he's going to be sharp. I think he's going to be really sharp. And even with that, he still had a really good stat line.
Still one of the best fantasy quarterbacks out there. And like we said, Keenan Allen already has over 500 yards receiving with 4 touchdowns. They can score points.
All right, let's take a look at the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Over on NBC, 7:30 kickoff.
Game of the year.
Ooh, so far. I mean, we're talking about Miami Dolphins. They are 5-1 taking on the 5-1 Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
I think this line has a lot to do with who's at home. Philadelphia's a 2.5 point favorite.
Yeah, Andy, I think, like you just said, with the Eagles being at home, they get the nod.
Yeah.
But the Eagles have to be the more balanced team here,
given
that their defense is far more respectable than the Dolphins. The Eagles will also have to, you know, be more locked in. And I think that surprising loss to the Jets is really going to turn them up and make them feel the pain, make the Dolphins feel the pain here. I think the Dolphins are going to come in here riding a little high, thinking that they got a cleanup shot at these guys that just lost a game. I think it's total opposite. I'm taking Eagles all game long. They're going to pound the rock and pound these Dolphins into the ground.
Well, I love the hook right now because I think Philadelphia can win by 3.
For sure.
And I think that might be what this game comes down to. Field goal, late field goal, as you always like to say.
Yeah.
And I see Philadelphia coming out at top, and maybe the biggest deciding factor there is they're at home.
Exactly.
And I do like the motivational talk that you were saying there with Philadelphia getting smacked around by the Jets.
Yeah.
And then having to hear about it.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing people from Philadelphia don't want to hear, it's that New York's having success.
Exactly.
Against us.
And then the next week, Miami's having success against us. And just in all honesty, this is a prove-it game for the Dolphins.
Right.
We've seen them put all the points up against the Giants and a couple lesser teams here in the NFL. Yeah. This, do you belong? Do you belong in this conversation?
Right.
This is the game that you do that in. And I get that it's AFC, NFC, so it's a Super Bowl matchup, you know, prototypically could be. But I really like the Super Bowl team and the Philadelphia Eagles here putting a foot down and saying, that was a fluke last week. Look what we did to one of the best AFC teams. This is our year.
Jalen Hurts, I love everything about that guy, and I think he's got mental toughness beyond mental toughness.
For sure.
And he has an opportunity right now to kind of reiterate that maybe Alabama made a mistake letting him go.
Yeah.
You know, that sticks with the competitor. I really think it does. They all speak so highly of each other, and that's great, but you know that sticks with a guy.
Oh, it has to, Andy. And like you said, and with Tua having just the year that he's had, monster year, ranks number one in the NFL with over 1,800 passing yards already. It's just totally crazy. Yeah. So this should be, like we said, game of the year candidate, but I really like the Eagles to get right here, put their stamp on this season saying we're going to be back in the Super Bowl.
I like the Eagles covering, especially at that 2.5. Give me the hook. Should we move on to Monday night?
Let's do it.
All righty. Another surprising loss was the 49ers to Cleveland.
Yeah.
I know they're dealing with a lot of injuries, but you still don't expect the 49ers to drop a game like that to Cleveland. And maybe
Cleveland's
playing a little bit better than what, you know, they're still not winning games. Well, they just did win one.
They just did win one with their backup quarterback.
Ooh, so now the 49ers are heading out to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Vikings are struggling. We all know it, or whatever. But they're 2-4, and the 49ers are coming off a loss. With that being said, the 49ers are still a 6.5-point favorite on the road.
Yeah, Andy, I think
all those injuries are still looming. All questionable.
You got Christian McCaffrey questionable for this week. You got Deebo Samuel questionable for this week. Brock Purdy just coming off the only game that he's actually looked human in his whole entire career as the San Francisco 49er.
And he's always questionable, right? Like, he's just always questionable.
He will play. But, no, it was the first game that they actually, you know, without him getting hurt, has looked like, a second-year quarterback is what he is.
And things didn't go his way. You know, defense didn't play up to what they usually did. And it didn't help him out, and maybe some drops and this and that, and he didn't have his playmakers. He did own it. He said, when Deebo goes down and Christian McCaffrey's out, I got to step up, and I didn't.
Exactly.
So, I admire that. Tip of the cap to that, but still, okay, can you?
Can you? The way that I'm looking at this, Andy, if you can get the hook, you can get the 6.5 points in San Francisco's way, I think it's a lock. I do believe they win by a touchdown here. We're talking about injuries for the San Francisco 49ers. The Vikings have lost their best player, all Mr. Universe, Justin Jefferson, for at least 7 weeks.
That's tough.
So it's really hard for the Vikings to pick up the slack on that with, you know, a rookie Jordan Addison and KJ Osborne. The way that I really look at this, Andy, though, the 49ers, they just didn't look like themselves on Sunday. It was a very chippy game with over 25 total penalties against Cleveland.
Yeah, it was perfect for Cleveland.
Yeah. And the defense did its job pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, Kirk Cousins, Monday Night Football, he's going to be slinging it.
Yeah.
And this is the best defense in the National Football League. Nobody's questionable on the defensive end of this football. Yep. Nick Bosa has a huge game. Fred Warner has a big game.
Yeah.
Give me the 49ers by a touchdown.
And the Vikings don't cover. They've only covered in 3 of their last 12 games, and they're 0-6 against the spread. 0-6 against the spread, their last 6 home games.
Yeah.
Home games.
Yeah, Andy.
So what's making me think they're going to do it against arguably the best team in the league?
Exactly. And
they're not.
I got another one for you. They won Sunday against a bad Bears team.
Yeah, very bad.
Despite their best efforts on offense. They only had 12 first downs and 2 for 13 on third down.
Yeah, it
that
good.
Will not beat the San Francisco 49ers. I don't care if Christian McCaffrey's not playing. I don't care if Deebo Samuel's not playing. Yeah. They still got Brandon Ayuk. They still got George Kittle. They still got Kyle Juszczyk.
They got
guys across the board. They're going to get right. Give me the San Francisco 49ers by a touchdown.
And we've seen this with the 49ers. Even when they are banged up, they still somehow perform and pull off victories and cover the point spread. 44 total, real quick.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm going to sidestep it. If I had to lean, I would lean on the over just because I think the 49ers are going to make a statement
put
here.
Put it on them.
Put it on them.
I just think it's going to be so hard for Minnesota to score with Jeffries being gone.
Yeah.
And it's already difficult for that offense. So
it is.
I guess I'll sidestep that as well, but I'd probably
lean on the unders.
Lean on the unders, and that's why we say it. All righty, Mr. Parlay.
Yeah.
Let's
get into it.
You got a parlay play for the people?
I do. I went 2 for 3 last week. I'm sorry, people, but I'm going to get back on track right now. I got a 3-team parlay in the NFL. I am taking the money line for the Las Vegas Raiders at a minus 170 against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah,
this is
good.
A lock of the week for the Raiders. Seattle Seahawks at a minus 6.5. They are hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Everybody's saying Kyler Murray might be gone. I'm getting a little more juice on this one than I think I should be deserving. I think the Seahawks mop up the Cardinals. And then to end it, I got the Philadelphia Eagles by 2.5. We just talked about it over the Miami Dolphins. You're putting all three of those together, only putting $25 on this, Andy, to win 102.
I really like that middle bet there with the Seahawks. A couple of things are going on there. Cardinals are playing back down to where we thought they would be.
For sure.
They just lost their running back, Connor, and that's a tough blow.
Oh, it is.
It's really tough, and Seattle's playing better than what they were the first couple of weeks of the season.
No doubt. They're 3-2 on their way up, divisional game. Arizona is still up in the air who they're going to play at quarterback. Yep. I don't think Kyler comes back and just has a crazy game. So as I read it off, the Las Vegas Raiders money line, Seattle Seahawks by 6.5, Philadelphia Eagles by 2.5, all three of them $25 to win 102.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
Well, that'll about do it for us this week, folks. Be sure to follow us on ESPN Tri-City Radio and their Facebook page. We come out with a lot of short videos there on those Facebook Reels. We're also on Twitter at WTL_podcast, I believe. And our YouTube channel is continuing to grow.
Yes.
Having a lot of fun with that. We also have a lot of different polls and questions and things of that nature that we're doing on that YouTube channel. So we're getting some interaction that way. And yeah, it is a lot of fun to hear from all you guys out there. It's always good to hear from you. And also, you're on TikTok, right?
Yeah. Daily picks on TikTok, weekly picks on TikTok. Make sure you tune in before primetime games. That's when we like to upload those videos.
For Joe Braun, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.